Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati, the pre-Super Bowl edition. We'll just call it the Who Day episode.
Who Day?
Who is it? Whose voice is that?
Sherry.
It's not Sherry. Sherry is somewhere in Los Angeles, tracking Bengals fans down, having a good time. I haven't talked to her, Burl, so I don't know. I hope everything's going well. I'm just following her on Twitter right now.
Yeah, she's doing her dream assignment. She's down there, part of our Super Bowl coverage team, and we got a lot of things planned.
We do. Can I introduce you?
You sure can.
The executive editor of the Cincinnati Inquirer, Cincinnati.com, Burl Love. Silent Phil is in studio on the ones and twos. And Burl, you don't really need an introduction because you're a regular on this podcast, and you might be the biggest champion of this podcast as well. You just alluded to Sherry being out in Los Angeles, and that's what I wanted to ask you about as we sort of our pre-Super Bowl. We're just talking Bengals. I almost forgot our special guest today.
Oh my gosh.
Dennis.
Yeah. Later on, we will have Dennis Wildman Walker.
Oh, that's his first name. Dennis.
Yeah. Okay. but he's known as Wildman. And if we have longtime Cincinnati area residents who are listening to the podcast, they probably know who Wildman is. They probably grew up listening to the Dawn Patrol on WEBN. And they probably know that Wildman is probably without any challengers the most obnoxiously spirited Cincinnati sports fan in town. I mean, there's just no other way to describe him. He is a legend.
Was known in media guides for all of our sports teams, not as a sports reporter or sports columnist or sports commentator. He was listed as Sports Commando.
Sports Commando.
The Sports Commando of WEBN, former Sports Commando of WEBN, the Wild Man. He'll be here in a few minutes.
That'll be fun.
It will be fun. But first, let's keep the fun rolling. I want to ask you, Burl, about the Inquirer and Cincinnati.com, our coverage in Los Angeles, what people can expect.
Well, we've had a ball. I mean, We joke sometimes in our industry that election night is our Super Bowl just because everybody has to step it up and be at their best to cover an election.
And we've not had any Super Bowls here, too.
And we've not had any, right? But this is like really our Super Bowl, right? The city.
Literally.
The city is celebrating the fact that the Bengals are in the Super Bowl. And so for 2 weeks now almost, a week and a half as we sit here, since the ball went through the uprights when the Bengals were coming back yet again from behind, not just to win a playoff game, but to win the AFC championship, as soon as that ball sailed through the uprights, we have been planning our coverage for the Bengals in the Super Bowl. We've got, you know, the best sports team in town. We've got Kelsey Conway. We've got Charlie Goldsmith. We got Paul Dougherty. We have an award-winning photo staff. We are just pulling out all the stops for this coverage, and our readers have enjoyed it. You know, I think our website almost broke down Sunday night and Monday morning with all the people, not just locally, but from around the country hitting it because, face it, there are Bengal fans, hungry, starving Bengals fans all over the country that are celebrating this moment. And we also, you know, we talk about how print is our legacy platform and our future is digital. But when you have a team in the Super Bowl, all of a sudden your print edition becomes a hot commodity. So Monday, our huge headline, It Is Us, a week ago Monday, that proclaimed the Bengals' victory against the Chiefs, you know, sold out all across town. So we're trying our best to get people back copies of that. And so knowing that people, you know, digital is fine. It gives me the news right now. But it's really hard to frame it and put it on the wall, right? It's really hard to save something that's on your smartphone and share it with your children or your grandchildren. So we know that our print edition is going to be a hot commodity. I don't want to say win or lose. Our print edition Monday is going to be a hot commodity when they win. And we are going to have a special edition Monday. But we also have Friday coming out it'll be a complete takeover of the Friday Inquirer. It will be all Bengals, a preview special edition commemorative copy of the Inquirer that will get you ready for the game, highlight all the great moments of this season, filled with that award-winning photography I told you about. So, you know, obviously subscribers will get it, but I know Bengals fans are going to want to get a copy of our Friday edition to get ready for the game. And you can pick it up at Kroger, UDF, and other retail locations across town.
Speedway, that's where
Speedway,
I get mine.
Speedway, yeah. Speedway, Remke. I can't remember all the places right now, but people who love picking up a copy of the Inquirer, they're not going to want to miss Fridays.
It's great stuff, Burrell. You know, I remember just on Twitter after the AFC Championship, people were like, hey, you know, talking about getting that commemorative print edition. And what about for folks who are out of town and aren't here? Is there a way that they can order that they can?
Jason, I am so glad you asked, because we don't have it live yet. But I think by the time this podcast drops, if you go to Cincinnati.com, you will find a way to order a package, which is going to be the preview edition Friday, the Monday paper, which will be historic either way. And I'm not going to say either way. It will be historic when they win. And a few other things thrown in, so that if you want to save that for as a keepsake edition, we will be taking orders for all those print editions online as well.
Great stuff. Is there also, too, you know, sometimes the newspaper after, I don't know, 5 years or so, it yellows, and if you have it in a frame, can you get an also kind of a glossy
you can.
Of the cover?
You can. For any edition of the paper. In fact, let's say you have a family member who was featured in the Inquirer, or your favorite restaurant was featured in the Inquirer. You can go on our website, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and there's a link that says licensing and reprints. And so you can order, as you say, sometimes if you're not careful, newspaper, newsprint does start to age and yellow over time. So we have suitable for framing replicas of any edition you would want, any page. And of course, we're going to make sure that that's easy to find. It won't be at the bottom of our website. It'll probably be somewhere up with our Bengals coverage, a link for people to order any kind of keepsake edition, whether it's the actual print edition or the front page in a already made plaque. We do that now. And of course, we're going to ramp that up for whatever happens on Sunday.
Yeah. Love it. It's part of the moment, the excitement of the moment, the story of the moment, the story of 33 years, first Super Bowl. And am I right? Is that right? 33 years. Yes.
You're right.
So check all that out on Cincinnati.com. Get out. I would recommend get out to Kroger and UDF and Speedway and Remke or wherever you get the Inquirer early on Monday morning, because those things are going to go fast.
They will go
fast. And then they went fast a couple Mondays ago,
And this is all coming together very quickly, but we probably will also have in the lobby of 312 Elm, which is our headquarters, our downtown Cincinnati headquarters at 312 Elm Street, right across from Paul Brown Stadium.
Yep.
We will probably be set up in the lobby, too, to sell copies of the print edition. Print's back, baby.
Prince back.
Prince is back in a big way. I mean, seriously, there's no other platform that captures a historic moment than having a good old-fashioned, sturdy print edition in your hands.
That's fantastic. And our team is just doing a fantastic job of putting all that stuff together. And
working really, tirelessly, literally.
Yes, really proud to be a part of this and part of this team and what they're doing. And so definitely follow all of our coverage on Cincinnati.com. And in the Inquirer. And, you know, one more quick thing, Burrell, I want to say this is a great opportunity. No one covers the Bengals more thoroughly, more in depth, better than we do. And so, Cincinnati.com, get your subscriptions. If you don't have them, give us a shot at that. Cincinnati.com/subscribe for your all access digital subscription and for all your Bengals coverage and well beyond that. And Burrell, I think we should jump over and We need the wild man.
We need him. There is no one else we can summon right now to help capture this moment than the wild man.
Let's get him on the horn. Special guest time here on the That's So Cincinnati podcast. I'm pleased to welcome, I know I say this often, but I don't know if you can get more So Cincinnati than Dennis Wildman Walker, former sports commando of WEBN, who's written his new book, Wildman, the book. Wildman, how we doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's 2-day week, Super Bowl week, rocking and rolling, baby.
So, Wildman, I am a sucker for origin stories. When I used to read comic books, my favorite comic book edition would be when they would tell the origin story. And so I'm going to summarize yours as I know it. And if I'm right, you can verify this. And if not, you can set us straight and even embellish if you'd like. And of course, this is all in the book. So we'll talk about the book in a little bit. But the legend as I know it is that a young Dennis Walker, with no real dreams to be a radio star, was a fixture at Riverfront Stadium, where the Reds used to play. Right behind the rail, cheering the Reds, heckling the opponents, firing up the fans, holding court, and all of a sudden, you were noticed by somebody, and we're talking back in the Frank Wood era of WEBN, before Clear Channel, before iHeart, back when radio stations could be bold and daring. Someone saw you and said, you know, we got to get this guy on the radio, and the rest is history. Do I have that right? I mean, what really?
Somewhat. If you read the book, you'll see that I went to a broadcasting school in Columbus. That's what I wanted to do when I got out of high school, and I really didn't have the grades to go to UC, so the broadcasting school kind of appealed to me. So I went up there, but it was a 6 months I'll never get back from being in Columbus. And I came back to the town and basically got into retail. And I was down at the stadium at the rail. I was on the third base side. And somebody pointed out that Michael Luzak was there from WEBN. Well, I used to talk to Mike on the phone when I was working at Woolworths running their sporting goods department, because he was from Cleveland. And I grew up a Browns fan back in the day. And I saw the Browns last championship and 1964. I remember it like it was yesterday. So we kind of, you know, hit it off. And I went over and introduced myself. And we just started talking about the Reds and the Bengals. And he said, you know, we've been looking for a guy like you to use now and then. I said, well, you don't have to look any further. I've seen it all. The Royals, the Bengals, the Reds, the Swords, the Tigers, the Stingers. I've seen it all. And one thing led to another. And like 2 years later, there I was on the WEBN Dawn Patrol. And what a great 28-year run it was.
And I want to talk more about the Dawn Patrol, but I want to get into a little bit about what this week means to you. Because when I think of, you know, the Mount Rushmore of Cincinnati sports fans, you are in that grouping. And I guess, what I want to remind our listeners of is if you grew up here and you listened to WEBN, or if you've read the book, you know that during the dark era of Bengals fandom, you got so fed up that you planted yourself on a billboard and stayed up there until the Bengals actually won a game. And how long were you up there? How long did it end up being?
It was 30 years ago, 1991. 30 years ago, 61 days I was up there. The Bengals started out 0-8. And they really lucked out to avoid being 0-9 as Eric Thomas blew in untouched to block a potential game-winning field goal by Matt Stover. Had he not blew in and not blocked that kick, I'd have been up there 2 more weeks. But luckily, I was only up there 61 days. And I'm still, you know, everywhere I go, still to this day, guys, I'm reminded about that. That next to the fireworks, next to the WEBN fireworks, that is the second greatest promotion that radio station ever did. I mean, they're still talking about it 30 years to the day.
So did you have any idea you were going to be up there that long? And what was it like?
No, I didn't. I thought we would would win the first game, and then the guy out in Denver who we made a bet with would have to go up, and the Bengals went on to Denver and lost, I think it was 45-14. Then we played the Oilers and got spanked, and then I was up there for the bye week, you know, so then the following week it was awful. They played lousy against the Seahawks, and then the Monday night game, every game I thought, I'm coming down, and I'll be honest with you, when they lost, I was not a guy you wanted to be around. I was so mad at those guys. And here's something I did put in the book. That last week before I came off, I had called the program director, Tom Owens, at the time, and said, Tom, they're not going to win a game for the rest of the year. It's getting too cold up here. My son is only 6 months old. I'm not seeing him every day. My girlfriend at the time, and that's all she was, my girlfriend. I never married that woman, thank God, because she's crazy. I said, I know, I'm coming down, man. You know, I've had enough. He said, oh, wild man. No. He said, you got to stick it out, man. You got to stick it out. He said, people will never forget this if you stick it out. And I said, okay. So he talked me into staying that week. And that week, the Bengals won and beat the Browns.
Well, I remember it like it was yesterday. I mean, I was, I was a college student during the Dawn Patrol heyday. And I got to tell you, thank you. My first year, I commuted to UC before I moved down to Clifton. And you and Eddie and Robin, you were like my companions in the car, making those wintry, crappy commutes down to Clifton just bearable. And, you know, I followed religiously, like I know a lot of people did, your antics on the billboard. But one question, I've skimmed the book. I'm still reading it. I had to give it to Jason so he could prep for the podcast. But, like, logistically, how did you go to the bathroom when you were on a billboard?
Oh, they had a porta potty that was up on the roof, and they would empty it out every week. They had a crane. And they had a crane. And then I would pretty much do the military way of bathing because I didn't have a shower. But I did, and I didn't put this in the book. I did sneak out like four times in the time I was up there and went home under the cover of darkness with my buddies driving the car, and I'm in the back seat and covered up, and I went home and took a shower. So, I mean, so I was able to shower a few times, but basically I was just changing clothes completely every day and, you know, doing the military bathing as best I could.
What did you originally, when you originally went up there, what did you have?
That's a good, my typewriter, a table, a chair, a flashlight. That was pretty much it. And then things just started rolling, and you know, started getting colder, and we ended up tarping off the area under the billboard because I really couldn't stay up on the billboard because it was so wet and whatnot. And by the time I left, I had a pinball machine, an exercise machine, a Barco lounger, you know, a Bengals lamp. I had all kinds of crap.
You had a Boomer poster too, right? I saw that in the archive photos.
I had a Boomer poster, my man Boomer.
Well, now that we've set the stage so people understand that there's probably no one else that has gone to a greater lengths to demonstrate their how big of a fan they are. Talk a little bit about what this season means to you personally.
When I looked at the schedule, guys, at the beginning of the season, I hate to use the word potential because I always think of Dan Dreesen of the Reds who never lived up to it, but be that as it may. But I looked at the schedule and I saw 10 wins. I said, there's a good chance they could win 10 games and maybe make the playoffs if they stay relatively healthy. Well, they were relatively healthy the whole season and whatnot. They did win 10 games and win the division. And I don't know if you know this or not, but when I was in Vegas back in February, the Bengals were 175-1 odds to win the Super Bowl. And I said, you know what? I'm going to bet $20 on the Bengals. You know, what's 20 bucks? I'll bet $20 on the Bengals to win the Super Bowl. I am one win away from winning $3,520, guys. $3,520.
Did you win anything just for them getting to the Super Bowl? Or you
no,
gotta...
I just bet the Bengals would win it all. Right. And trust me, they are coming back with the Lombardi Trophy. This is a team of destiny. The Rams are scared. They are scared. And the Rams aren't that good. I mean, they won by 3 points in their stadium, you know, 2 weeks ago. They are not that good, especially defending the pass. If Joe Burrow gets 5 seconds, he will pick them apart.
In the wild man, in all your years of being a sports fan in this town and covering it from the radio standpoint as well, Where is Joe Burrow at on, and, you know, I think Burrow referenced Mount Rushmore, but is Joe Burrow closing in on, I mean, I know it's really been one season, but is he on his way to being on the Mount Rushmore of Cincinnati sports figures?
Yeah, if he could stay healthy, in the book, I don't know if you saw it, Jason, but my chapter about the Bengals, I had said that Joe Burrow is the second coming of Greg Cook. If I don't know if you remember, yep, Greg, yep, Cook, but Paul Brown said, I've got my next Otto Graham. But unfortunately, Greg Cook only had 1 year,
yeah,
as Bobby Bell and Buck Buchanan sandwiched him, and he had injured his shoulder. And they didn't have the surgery back then, and he played, I think, one game in 1970, and that was it. I mean, Joe is so smart from the neck up. Then you count as, you know, his quarterback ability. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing that a quarterback falls in her lap. And here, hey, he's from Ohio. You know, that's even the better thing. And he grew up as a Bengals fan. I mean, we are just so lucky. And the Mount Rushmore thing, yeah. And I love it that the fans have, you know, just jumped on board. And, you know, there are bandwagoners, but I don't care about that. But they've embraced this team. I mean, in 1981 and 88, this city was excited. But this year, this season, oh, my God, it's just crazy. And that's, you know, social media and whatnot has a lot to do with it. But, you know, you got to love it, man. When they win Sunday, oh, my God, Fountain Square will be a sight to behold.
Are you going to be on Fountain Square?
I don't know, because I'll be over at the Squeaky Squirrel in Tanner Mill, and I'll probably be drinking Jägermeister shots and smoking my cigar.
And hawking books, right?
And hawking my book, of course.
That's awesome. Well, I promise we'll get to the book, but Jason, can we shift to talking about the Dawn Patrol a little bit?
Yeah.
All right.
I love Eddie tells me stories all the time. I love to hear it.
So, like I said, I mean, I felt like you guys were family. I listened to the Dawn Patrol so much. I mean, you guys would crack me up, tell me who was coming as far as concerts I want to buy tickets for. It was one of those things I don't think could ever be replicated. That team, that moment. Did you know at the time what the Dawn Patrol would turn into as far as the, you know, the lore of Cincinnati radio?
When I went full time in 85, because I was around there from 83, 84, and then they brought Eddie in, I said something was going to change, and that was because of the genius of Frank Wood. He wanted to make a change on the morning show, and which he did. He added Eddie, and then he added me. And then I could just see it after I was there about a month that something, you know, we're on to something. And then they added Bob the producer. And for 1985, let's just say from 1985 to the mid-2000s until Eddie left to go over to work for LW. We were the station, man. We were the station. And we were proud of it, and we worked hard at it. You know, we didn't walk around town, you know, pushing out our chest or anything. We just, you know, we were hard at it. We were all pros. And we worked at it, and we made ourselves, you know, really legendary in this town. I mean, the WEBN today, it's nothing. The legacy's over. The suits in San Antonio ruined it. And, you know, you couldn't have a morning show today like we had with all the stuff that went on in the studio with strippers and whatnot. You couldn't have that today. The social media people would go absolutely crazy. So yeah, we were lucky, you know, to do what we did. And, again, when I talk to people all the time, they say, man, you guys were the greatest, man. I grew up with you. And I said, yeah, you know, they'll never be able to repeat it. No radio station in town could compare to us back in the day. None of them could. They wish they could, but none of them could ever do that. And I'm just glad to be part of it.
So can you share with us one of the best memories you have, whether it was the most over-the-top moment or a poignant moment or just something? And of course it can be from the book because, you know, we want to make sure people know you have that book and can read more. But what is one of the most lasting memories of being part of the Dawn Patrol for you?
Wow. Well, we had Pete Rose in the studio, right after he released his book, and he came into the studio and he apologized to me for not, you know, for not telling me the truth that he had bet on baseball. And I about fell out of the chair. I mean, it was like, you know, everybody was just like, wow. And he said, I want to just say that I wish I'd have told you, you know, that I had been on baseball and I'm really sorry. And I said, Pete, don't worry about it, man. I said, you know, I'm a fan, and, you know, and I'm a fan of your baseball career, and that's where it begins and ends.
And just let me, just for our listeners' sake, for those that don't know about the Wild Man, which that's probably just four or five of our total audience that has not heard of you. Probably, you know, next to maybe Denny McLean, Pete Rose might be your most the biggest hero from the sports world for you personally. Your email has the number 14 built into it. I mean, for you as a Cincinnati guy growing up watching Pete Rose, I can't imagine what that moment was like for you. Did it restore him for you?
I named my son after him, you know, and he wore 14 his entire being when he played baseball, and he wore 14 a lot of times when he played hockey. So, yeah, I mean, Pete Rose, he's number one in my book. Denny McLean was just kind of a thing that we, you know, I conjured up because he was the first guy I ever interviewed. He was the first sports figure I ever interviewed when I was going to that broadcasting school. But Pete is number one, man, without a doubt. Pete is number one. I mean, when you read the book, there's two pages of what I refer to as the number 14. And then all these references, like the 14, like 14 letters in Cincinnati Reds. Pete Edward Rose, 14 letters. 14 men's restrooms at Great American Ballpark. I could go on and on. Evel Knievel jumping 14 buses at Kings Island. I mean, I just go on and on. Opie Taylor in an episode of Andy Griffith wearing 14 on his football uniform.
There's got to be a 14 reference we can tie to this year's Bengals, too, if we put our minds together. But
That's true. And here's another story. The other story you'll love, you know, my dislike for UK basketball is well known. And I used to, whenever Kentucky would lose basketball, I would, you know, just rip them and I'd have a baby crying in the background. And their fans would call Eddie and Bob in the studio. They didn't have my extension, so they couldn't call me. So they would call Eddie and Bob and complain to them. And Bob and Eddie just kind of played it off. But they were loving it because all these fans would call in and complain to, well, Wild Man getting on the Kentucky Wildcats. UC's never done nothing. Ah. But, you know, they were such sore losers, and we were just loving them when they would call.
What's a segment that you did in the heyday of the Dawn Patrol that you could never do today? Is there one? I know you did a lot, but is there one that stands out?
Oh, wow. You know what? That's a tough question. You know, that really is. That's a tough question. I've never been asked that. I mean, we were pretty, we, you know, we pretty much had full reign, you know, pretty much to do what we wanted. We never had the general manager run down and say, you can't do that. I mean, Eddie might have sometimes raided by him, but we really, you know, we never had really any restrictions. Maybe, you know what? Here it is. When I pretty much went after Danny Graves, because we made parody songs about how lousy he was as his career was ending and being a snitch and whatnot. You probably couldn't do that today. And as it turned out, Kermit was right. He ended up getting fired by the Reds. And then losing his job to the Mets, and he was out of baseball. Broke, divorced, and out of baseball.
That's pretty rough. The baby-faced assassin, man.
Yeah, the baby. Yeah, oh, he's got, you know, guys tell me just to get under my skin, well, he's the all-time saves leader. I said, yeah, all those cheap-ass saves that he got. He couldn't carry John Franco's jock. Look at John Franco's ERA as a Red, 2.89. Danny Graves is almost at 5. There's not even a comparison in closers.
Tell us how you really feel about him, Wild Man.
Yeah, there you go. See, you got me fired up.
Well, and this is what people miss. I mean, you're right. I can't speak too harshly about, you know, the WBN of my youth compared to what it is today, because, you know, I'm the editor of the Enquirer and we're owned by a large corporation and we're a lot different than we were back in the day. And I think, you know, you got to make the best of it, and corporate ownership has its pluses and minuses, but under the current, corporate world that we find ourselves in, you do lose a lot of that, I don't know what you want to call it, like local flavor to the extreme, ask for forgiveness rather than permission kind of mentality. What did you do anything during your time at the Dawn Patrol that you actually did get called in to the office or called on the carpet and they were like, all right?
One time I went to this Ozzy Osbourne concert with a bunch of listeners on a boat upriver, and I got so smashed that I didn't show up the next day. So the next morning I got called in by Tom Owens, and he said, hey, man, we can't have this. He goes, that's strike two on you.
What was strike one?
I don't know what. I don't think you got strike one. You just had strike two.
Right, strike two.
Instant strike
and
two.
I never did that kind of stuff ever again. So, I mean, I was on the defense there, yeah.
Well, that's pretty tame, considering Ozzy Osbourne was involved.
Yeah, right, exactly. Hey, you went back and mentioned about how the corporate situation today. I'm only going to say this. Just look at the ratings, the radio ratings in Cincinnati where WEBN is. Nobody listens. They play the same old tired songs. Nobody listens. Nobody cares. The legacy of the station is gone. It is. It's gone.
Well, I'd have to agree that things are different. Things are different for sure. I have another question for you because I've always wondered how this happened as a Wild Man fan. Your classic sign-off, and I like to do imitations. So, like, for example, the Pete Rose forever, Bart Giamatti never.
Right.
When did that happen? Did it happen like accidental? Did you craft it and know it was going to be your sign-off tagline, or did it just kind of happen and you went with it?
It just kind of happened because when I flew that banner in 1983, July 9th, 1983, when the Phillies were in town, four game series, Pete Rose in town, I was so fed up with the Reds. They were on their way to lose 100 games again. And I just came up with Pete Rose forever, Dick Wagner never. And I flew the banner around the stadium. And 2 days later, on a Monday afternoon, I think it was like 11 o'clock, the Reds fired Wagner with Pete Rose, how apropos, in town, because Wagner ran him off. So that was apropos. And I remember seeing Pete after the game. And he looked at me and said, that banner got him fired, didn't it? And I said, well, that probably helped a little bit.
Yeah, you're reminding me of some sad times. I remember how heartbroken I was when I saw the Sports Illustrated cover with the with Pete Rose and Joe Morgan and Tony Perez reunited on the Phillies. I mean, staring at that cover, just heartbroken.
Yeah, they called them the Wheeze Kids back then.
Right.
Yeah, I have that Sports Illustrated on my wall because I've got every Sports Illustrated in frames that Pete Rose was on. Every one of them.
All right, so we got to talk about this book now. So, Wild Man Walker wrote a book. That in and of itself.
14 chapters.
Is. When did you get the idea for the book and how did it come about?
I had the idea for the book about probably back in 2008, 2009. A couple of my buddies were talking to me about it. We were just sitting around talking about all the stuff that we had done together and what I had done in radio. And I got with a guy who's the editor for Spitball Magazine, which is a baseball magazine that comes out like four times a year. And we sat down and started, talking about it. And then, when I was mapping out all the stuff that I had done, and he kind of like disappeared on me. I guess he didn't want to do it. And then it was like about a year and a half ago, I started talking to some people about it. And they said, you ought to do it. And I went down to... here was the kick in the ass to do it. I went down to Kodak, Tennessee to see the Tennessee Smokies play. They are the Cubs AA team. But the president of the team is Doug Kirchhoffer, who brought hockey to Cincinnati back in 1990. And I worked for the Cyclones for 20-something years under him. And I went down to see him because I go down every year to see him. And we were talking about the book. And he said, do you have a lot of pictures with the book? I said, I got a ton of pictures. He goes, people love pictures. He goes, you got to do this. This is your time. And when he said that, I said, okay. Well, I got in touch with a guy by the name of Jerry Schultz, who lives in Cleveland. He wrote a fantastic book about the Cincinnati Royals. And I'm in the book with some stories because I didn't miss a Royals game from 1970 to 72. And I'm still mad at Bob Cousy and Joe Adelson for moving them out of here because they came in to ruin that franchise. And I started talking to Jerry about writing the book. So we met up in Middletown one Saturday to kind of go over how we were going to do it and structure it. And then I started telling him stories. And we said, okay. So I would call him, and you could hear him typing in the background. Then I came up with each chapter, and he'd send it to me, and I'd look at it and say, take this paragraph out. Don't put that in there. And the next thing you know, we started in November of 2020 and finished it up in February of 2021.
You, real quick, it has to do with the book, but also, well, it's in the title of the book, Wild Man. I meant to ask you this. How did you get that nickname?
That was my CB handle. When you read the book, that was my CB handle back in the 70s. Because I was living in Terre Haute, Indiana at the time, working for the shoe company. But I'd be going back and forth to Cincinnati to see the Reds play. And I was going to St. Louis to see the Reds play. And I'm in my van. Everybody had a van back there in 1977. And I'm in the van. And I was calling myself the party man. I said, hey, it's the party man. I'm a westbound on I-70. Anybody see any Smokies? And my buddy that was with me said, you ain't the party man. You're the wild man. That's what you should be using. And I looked at him and said, yeah, you're right. And from that point on, I was using Wild Man as my CB handle.
Well, now we know. So
now you know.
So where can people find this book?
Well, I've done so many book signings all over the city, over in Kentucky, Indiana, Cincinnati. I've got a book signing next Wednesday, next Tuesday at J-Tabs. And then on the first Friday of March, I'm at Poppies in Western Hills. Western Hills have been really good to sell the book. I've sold 1,100 copies right now personally. I've probably sold maybe 100 online. You can buy it through Amazon. You have to type in Wild Man the book, but here's the gist of it. I don't make that much money online selling the book, and it doesn't come signed. Of course, if you come to the book signing, I'm going to sign the book for you, and we'll probably take a selfie and whatnot. And that's been written. And I'd rather get out and meet all the people. You know what I'm saying about this? Because that's really helped sell the book. And when I reach 1,400 books signed or 1,400 books sold, when I reach 1,400, and I'm over 1,100, I'm going to write the revised edition because I've got like 20 more stories I can add to the chapters that I forgot. It's a lot more pictures. So a revised edition is going to come out.
So has anyone approached you for movie rights yet?
Well, you know what? This is funny you asked that because I ran into an independent film director here in town. And I got in contact with him and he came over and we were talking about it. And he's trying to round up some people maybe to get some money to possibly do it. Now, who would play me? I have no idea.
Well, that would be a fun contest for our readers to pick who would play you.
Yeah.
That oh boy, my imagination's running wild
because he's dead, so you can't use him.
Wild Man, hopefully you'll be able to add something about a Super Bowl champion Bengals to the chat in the next revision of the book as well. Tell listeners again. You said you're going to be at J-Taps. It's on Glenway. When is that?
And next Tuesday. Yes.
What time?
From 7:30 to like 11.
7:30, 11. J-Taps on Glenway Avenue. It's Alex Triantafilou's favorite place to go. He takes me there.
Right.
Yeah.
So are you done with questions?
I am. I was just trying to plug the book. And
yeah, I think we got the book plug.
There you go.
So real quick to take us out, when the Bengals win, where do you rank it as far as the best moments in Cincinnati sports history? I mean, you've got the back-to-back World Series of the Reds in the 70s. You got the wire-to-wire season of the Reds. You have the 60s era back-to-back NCAA championships for the Bearcats. Where would this rank?
Selfishly, it would be probably like maybe third, because number one would be when the Cyclones won that first championship.
Whoa. The Cyclones. Come on now.
The Cyclones, when they won it, because I had worked for them and I saw how hard those guys worked.
All right.
I mean, they won, I think it was 70 games, lost like 12, won every award. And it was just, you know, it was so cool to be part of the team. I've got two Kelly Cup rings, man. I've got two Kelly Cup rings from their two championships. Let's change that. We'll say 1990, the Reds. Because I was covering the Reds. I was in Oakland. I still have the cassette tape for my interviews with the guys. I knew a lot of those guys. I still keep in touch with Rob Dimble and Norm Charlton and Tom Browning. That was Pete Rose's team. I would say that this would be number two. This would be number two.
That's excellent. And so can you take us out with your signature? You got a special one queued up for us? Or just I want to hear it one more time.
Forever, Matthew Stafford, you'll hate life. Thank you.
thanks again to the Sports Commando, the Wild Man, for joining us here today. And that shifts us into our That's So Cincinnati moment of the week. Burl, this is a Burl creation. He loves it. So I'm going to let him. I think he might have something up his sleeve.
I do, you know, and it's actually my Cincinnati, That's So Cincinnati moment of last week. And that was when I got to call Sherry Coolidge and say, Sherry, would you go to LA and be part of our team covering Bengals fans from Cincinnati who are in Los Angeles at the Super Bowl? And you know what? I had to give her a moment. She was so emotional about the opportunity. She started like to break down, and I'm like, Sherry, do you need a moment? Do you want me to call back? And she's like, no, I'm okay. And what people need to realize, and you could say this about all of our reporters and our team here, you know, we care about this city and, you know, we live here, we work here, all the things. But Sherry is the poster child for someone who is just all in on Cincinnati. You know, she covers the city. She cares about, our readers first, but, she's all in, you know, and so it was a big moment for her to be able to be part of our team in LA to cover the Super Bowl. And she's there right now.
That's right. She is there right now. And I'm like, I haven't talked to her all week since she's been there. And I'm like, I'm missing her. And I'm thinking like,
well, and I know it's probably killing her not to be on the podcast because she, you know, I know she's happy to be at the Super Bowl, but why don't you call her up? And then she can keep her streak alive of being on the podcast if she answers the phone. I mean, she's probably like talking to important people and being caught up in the
hoopla.
Yeah, let's see if she answers.
Hello. Hey, Jay.
Hey, what's up? You're live recorded on the podcast that you're usually on.
Jay. What time is it there? What time is it here? Wait, I don't know.
I'm surprised you're up, Sherry, because it's, you know, it's 1:20-ish in the afternoon here on a sunny Wednesday in Cincinnati when we're recording. I'm surprised you're up because I think you're probably taking advantage of that nightlife and hanging around all the beautiful people.
I'm not sure I should tell my boss this, but it was in the name of work because I was looking for Bengals fans. I did dance the night away at the Abbey. All in the name of work, I swear.
That's a sweet gig if you can get it. Well, you know, full disclosure, I just, you know, hope you're not embarrassed. I told everybody that when you got the news you were going to LA to cover the Super Bowl that you had a little moment there. Do you want to talk about that?
You know what? I did, because I was just, you know, I was getting ready for budget committee. You know, I was like, what's on the agenda today? Carl's going to call me any second. I know our listeners know who Carl is. And I was like, and you called, and of course you answer the phone when your boss calls. And I, of all the things I thought you were going to say, it wasn't, we're sending you to the Super Bowl. Burl, I was overwhelmed. And you know, now that I've had time to think about it, I love having this experience for work, but it was this Cincinnati moment that we've been writing about. I had been feeling it. And when you said that to me, I was like, I get to be part of my city and like the Cincinnati moment. So anyway, I think I actually was crying.
Yeah, you got verklempt like on Coffee Talk. We had to change the subject for a minute. But yeah, no, we're glad you're there. I know all your loyal followers and fans are going to be glad you're there. And if they're not in Los Angeles, they're going to be living vicariously through you. If you're not following Sherry on Twitter, you need to do that, everybody. And we'll be broadcasting everything that Sherry does, you know, heading into Sunday's game for all of you. So.
And that's really my goal out here, like to share what the fans are doing and feeling, and just because I'm feeling it kind of with them. And so I just want to bring that back home, really.
So
I wish everyone could come. I wish I could have packed everyone in my suitcase and brought everyone with me.
So have you had any notable star sightings?
Besides Bengals Jim.
Who?
Just Bengals Jim. Oh, so
Bengals Jim Foster. He is a rock star. Have you found George Clooney yet?
You know what? I'm 2 seconds from getting on like a tour of the star homes. Don't you feel like I can hop off the bus?
Of course you are.
Knock on the door and be like, hi, I work for the Inquirer.
He does live in Italy.
I looked that up after you and I were talking about it the other night, and I saw there was a tweet on it. I'm like, so I looked it up. Where does he live? And he splits his time between Italy and New York City. But maybe you'll catch him there. You know, obviously he spends a lot of time there.
There's going to be some star sightings. Well, you know, if you grew up in Cincinnati, you're a long-suffering Bengals fan. You just are. And I feel like they have the means to come and experience this. But we'll be on the lookout for sure.
So, Sherry, when you tell people that you're a reporter with the Enquirer, I think in Los Angeles you're going to have to make sure you say the Cincinnati Enquirer, because they're going to assume you're from the National Enquirer.
You know what? I went to called the Beanery that is the Bengals' home.
There's a Bengals bar in Los Angeles?
There's two Bengals bars. Someone has decorated their bar like an owner. I believe we've had a story on it in Pasadena. But there's also like this place called the Beanery in Santa Monica that the Bengals themselves chose. And they had like some fans are invited and anyone can just go there. And it's going to be like this home place. So I went in there yesterday. It's really quiet. It's still early in the week. And I did say, oh, I'm from the newspaper and the Enquirer. And when we walked away, a person I was with is like, I think they thought you meant the National Enquirer. I was like, yes, I do need to clarify that.
Or you could use it to your advantage. I mean,
or I could use it to my advantage.
Sherry, well,
I trust you to do the ethical thing, Sherry.
Yes.
I also trust you to do this, Sherry, on the company dime. On your last day there, rent a spiffy sports car Camaro and bebop all around the Sunset Strip and Hollywood and all that. That may or may not have been done in 2015 when Jason Hoffman and I were at a digital news conference in Beverly Hills. So, but anyway,
that predates my time, so I don't care.
Exactly, I knew that.
I have heard the stories, but here's what I'm going to tell you. What I'm really going to do on the last day here. Are you ready? I'm going to go to the Super Bowl, which actually is a present from my dad. I'm going to go to the Super Bowl. I'm going to stay up all night and celebrate our win. And I'm not going to go to bed before I have to go get on my flight at noon. So good luck to City Hall next week. But that's what I'm going to do on my last day here.
And I know that you're going to look fabulous getting on the plane, because if anyone can pull off an all-nighter and continue to look fabulous, it is our very own Sherry Coolidge.
All you need is sunglasses. It's the LA secret.
Sherry, just logistically, since we're having you right now, we'll catch you at Sharon Coolidge on Twitter. Where else can we find your time, what you're doing in LA?
My personal Instagram, and you call me Sherry on the podcast all the time because that's the nickname that I've always gone by, is Sherry.Coolidge. And I don't know if Pearl knows this, I have permission to take over the Enquirer Instagram, and I'm actually getting ready to do my first post. And I actually have to tell you, like, I'm super nervous. It has so many followers, and I'm like, you're giving me the power to put something on the Enquirer's Instagram? So that's some big trust there.
Yeah, don't screw this up, Sherry.
I promise.
All right.
And hopefully, Sherry, it is not as big of a logistical nightmare as when you and I were at the 2016 Democratic National Convention, because those were I was just telling someone the logistics of that the other day, and I just hope that it's a much easier time with security and the walk and everything there. But you're a veteran at doing it.
You're not here to see me break down and cry three times, Jason, while we're trying to get to places at that convention, so I think we'll be better.
Hey, we'll be following you and just encourage our listeners, as obviously you know Sherry really well, so be checking her out on all those social media platforms. And Sherry, put your sunglasses on. We'll see you on Instagram.
Okay. I can't wait to listen to this week's podcast, you guys. I'll talk to you later.
Bye, Sherry.
Bye-bye.
And with that, should we wrap?
Let's tie a bow on it.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Burl. Appreciate you being here. Maybe we'll be talking Super Bowl championship.
Maybe. No maybes. No try. As Yoda would say, no try. Do.
Do.
And with that,
we're done.